Welcome to the Lease Option Experience. I'm John Jackson, your host, and together with my co-host, Joe Seske, we answer all of your questions about lease options in real estate. We answer questions about sandwich lease options, straight lease options, lease option assignments, also known as wholesaling lease options, which is exactly what we specialize in and what I've specialized in since 2003, having done well over 700 lease option transactions. If you have questions about lease options, this is the podcast you want to be listening to. I know there's a lot of podcasts out there about real estate investing, but this is the only podcast devoted specifically to the niche of lease options. We answer all of your questions and guide you through actual real transactions, both of our own, our students, and our listeners. So what do you see? Let's get started with the next episode of the Lease Option Experience. Hey, what's up, everybody? John Jackson here with the Lease Option Experience, here to talk about all things lease options, things creative real estate, etc. And as always, if you're watching us on YouTube, whatever format you're watching us on, like us, give us thumbs up, leave comments, leave questions. I will actually answer your questions. And speaking of questions, if you have questions about lease options or anything creative real estate, reach out to me, questions@leasingtobuy.com. If you want some free stuff, because I'm sure you want a bunch of free stuff, go to freeleaseoptiontraining.com, freeleaseoptiontraining.com. You'll see all kinds of stuff you get for free, a bunch of grab bag stuff, lease option calculator, seller price sheet, all the stuff. Plus there's about an hour training on there that is free. So on this episode, we're super excited to have Mr. Mark Monroe out of Boca Raton, Florida. Now, Mark spends a lot of his time trolling on Facebook, popping his head into random forums and groups, talking about how great he is and how what kind of hair product he uses and a bunch of crap like that. But for this show, I wanted to get away from that. I wanted to talk about real estate, kind of rein him in, dialing him in a little bit, and talk about what he does in real estate. He's known as one of the guys that's out there doing creative financing, creative real estate, and also educates and teaches people as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit. So let's get going. Mark, how you doing, sir?
I am doing great. Wow. What all kind of, I can't believe the value you give out to your listeners starting right off the bat. That's great. That's awesome. Love it.
I throw out so much value and content. It is crazy, Mark. So let's talk a little bit about you. So you're down in Boca Raton, Florida, but let's talk about where you started in real estate, and we'll kind of walk through what you're doing now. And I also want to talk about the education and the teaching that you do, because I think that's pretty unique, and I think you offer a ton there. But first, let's talk about you getting started in real estate. What did that look like? How did you get enthralled in real estate?
Well, I started really young, back in the age of 24, many, many years ago. I actually really started in business and learning back when I was 15. My first job, I was at Mickey's, believe it or not, McDonald's up in New England. And I just threw myself into work and learned business management. And, as a senior in high school, I was actually running a store, if you will. And then went through the schooling system within McDonald's University. They paid for my college. And then I was actually qualified. But then what happened was, after being there for about 10 years, I was transferring from New England down to the Washington, Baltimore, DC area. And I was going to be in charge of several stores down in that area. However, once you're with McKinney's for approximately 10 years, you get 2 months paid vacation plus you're already 5 weeks. So I started dabbling a little bit in real estate investing back in the day. And I wanted to educate myself more. So I took a loan origination course at that time. The gentleman liked me. The instructor said, "Hey, why don't you come work for me?" So I ended up working for him and pretty much never looked back. So I was with him for about a year, year and a half. Met a couple of partners from there. Since I knew business, we left that, went into our own business, and we blew that up to 107 loan officers in the Washington, Baltimore, DC area. So that's how I really got into it.
And what time frame was that you were blowing up?
That was in the 90s, mid to late 90s. That's really where that started. And I started doing a little dabbling investing. Some of my clients were investors. So I started learning different techniques and different businesses through these clients of mine. And that's really how I learned a lot of it. And then I sold my portion off, and that's what brought me down to Florida in the late 90s. And then that's when I started to do some lease options. You know, I started doing it kind of just as myself and one processor. I was a mortgage broker. And what I was doing is back then the houses were sitting on the market probably 4 to 8 months. Homes weren't moving very fast. And so these people were like trying to sell their homes. They have a new home construction. They bought a new home and they had a construction, so they can't sell their current home or they're moving. So I'd go in and say, hey, you know what? I'll buy your property on a rent to own. Because a lot of people don't know what a lease option is. So you have to explain it to them what a rent to own is. So then I would go in and say, all right, I'll buy your home on a rent to own. And they'd be like, well, I need my money to go buy another property. So this is what I'll do. I'll say, okay, this is what we'll do. Is the interest rates at that time were like 7.5%. I would refinance the home like at 85% loan to value, pull the cash out, use the money to buy a new home, and then I would step in and make the payments on their behalf using a lease option strategy. That's what I used to do. So on one lead, I was making money in a refinance.
Yep.
Then I would go, oh, by the way, your new home, I want to do that loan. Then I would go put a tenant buyer into the property and get an option consideration fee down. So on one lead and one deal like that, I was getting over $20,000 just off of that one deal back in the day. So that's how I really started out.
Is it different now with regulation and laws where you as a loan officer, entangled, but that's what Jada Pinkett Smith gets into is an entanglement. But if you're working with a seller for a cash out refi, I mean, but then yet you're looking to, and again, this is nowadays, but then you say, hey, but then I can whatever, take over your payments. You do this, whatever on your current house, would RESPA or would the, would you be able to do that?
That's a great question. I would just stay away from it, quite frankly. Yeah. It's just because there's so many regulations that got put into place. But I mean, you're talking the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. It was so easy. And then a lot of people over the years have ruined the strategy. So there's been a lot of regulations put in place, which regulations are good, but I wouldn't recommend doing that now. You know, I just work with a loan officer, and which I do. You know, just send them to business and they send me, you know, clients back in return. So, but that's how I started back then. It was pretty easy. It was great. I helped people out, you know, out of the situation. Is
again,
you just listen and if you can solve the problem, that's really what it comes down to. And always do the right thing. You know, that's really the bottom line. It's just always do the right thing.
So you were doing lease options way back then in the 90s and the 2000s. And then did that then evolve and transition into more creative things like seller finance?
Yeah, then I was starting to do seller financing. That was probably the next phase I went into. You know, I was doing a sandwich lease option for quite some time. I just love the passive income. You know, I started doing that. And then I did do some assignments. I still do some lease options assignments if, you know, if there's no monthly cash flow on it.
Right.
And I just like, there's no sense of staying in the middle, just assign it to your end buyer. And tenant buyer, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, what was that? How I got into
seller loans. Yeah, how that, no, as it's progresses, so we're going down the timeline here. So lease option, you know, mortgage, you know, loan officer, then, you know, into lease options, and how does that progress into creative financing as far as seller finance, wrap notes, et cetera?
So I was doing that for quite a few years. And then the boom started taking off in like around 2004, you know, before the major crash. So lease options were a little challenging back then because people were just putting the homes on the market and just, they're just moving quickly, almost like today's market. So then at that time, I started dabbling a little bit in the fix and flips before I really got into the seller financing. And then I got recruited from a national lender in the secondary, and they wanted me to work their whole East Coast from North Carolina to Florida to buy the subprime mortgage paper from the banks. So I got into that for a few years. I went back into the corporate world and just traveled, enjoyed that for some time. But while I was doing that, I was still buying some properties on the side, doing some lease options. But the market was hot. So I took a step back during that time a little bit. And then when the market crashed, we all kind of had to reinvent ourselves, if you will, during that time period.
Yeah.
So and then at that time, I shifted into doing a loan modification company. And what made us different with everybody else is we actually hired mortgage underwriters that were doing all the back end. And then we, I don't remember if you remember Linton Loans. Linton Loans approached us and we actually started helping them to underwrite their files while they were doing the loan modifications back in the day. So we had two different divisions, retail and wholesale. And then in Florida, the laws changed where you had to be an attorney to be able to do that work. So we sold that business off to a law firm. We had 81 employees in that business. And then during that time, I started doing a lot of different, you know, creative real estate investing, seller financing. Mm-hmm. I didn't do sub twos until probably, I would say, you know, the mid, you know, 2014-ish, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's kind of when I started doing a little bit of that. But prior to that, I did do some contracts for deeds or land contracts.
So, which is interesting, literally right before this, we started recording this, one of my dream partners, one of my students has a seller that, up in Ohio that it looks like we're just going to take over the payments and it's like a stupidly good deal. So, I'm going to be walking my student through that on that.
That's awesome.
Sub two. I don't do a lot of sub two. Very few. Nothing against them. It's just a matter of that's not the avatar of seller that I target. Yep. So now let's talk about over the last 2, 3, 4 years. What have you've been talking about more of like land development that you're doing? Is that right?
Yeah, really. I've shifted into land development, but I still do a lot. I really like the niche of buying properties, seller financing free and clear. You know, especially in Florida, a lot of people like to downsize. Mm-hmm. They like that monthly cash flow check coming in. So what I really like to do is just find those properties free and clear. You know, as you know, 38, 40% of homes out there have no mortgages, purchase them and then turn around and sell them on a lease option. That's really what I like to do because it's a different type of tenant buyer. They take the properties. It's just so much easier and much easier to manage. So I still do some of those. I do a few of those. And now I've been mainly focusing more on the land development. So I've been taking the creative financing strategies and applying that into the land world and doing deals with sellers and say, hey, you know what, you have no mortgage on the property. Let's do a joint venture deal together. You know, we'll use the land as the collateral mm-hmm. to get the financing. We go through the entitlement process and get everything. So that's kind of, I take that same and modified it into the land development world.
Gotcha. With the land development and those leads from the people that own the properties, where are you cultivating those from or how are you cultivating those?
I work with bird dogs.
Gotcha.
A lot of bird dogs. I have probably about 450 bird dogs out there, just kind of bring deals from all over the place. And it's just easier marketing. And we just kind of do joint venture deals together.
In order to keep track of that many bird dogs, you don't just, you know, use a yellow legal pad, you know, you've got to have a system in place to keep track of those bird dogs. And there's a few different systems and programs out there from Easy RAI Tools that has a phenomenal tool that you can use for bird dogs, deal maker, you know, so many different platforms. How do you keep track of that many bird dogs?
I had Podio custom built out for my business. So, and I treat bird dogs just like a seller lead. You know, I'll put it in there, do the same sequences, if you will. I'll touch base with them. You know, the bird dogs are technically my clients. That's how I look at it.
Yeah. And when you do that, are the bird dogs able to see where they are in the pipeline?
They can. Yep. Any given time.
So when you bring on a bird dog, mm-hmm. let's say you recruited me in Fort Worth. Okay. I'm your bird dog in Fort Worth. And let's talk about that. Then this conversation is going to take a little bit of a different turn. Then let's talk about bird dogs. Because one of the things I've taught before is how to treat bird dogs as a business, right? Some different ways to set them up as a business and why most bird dogs, why the whole thing fails and then how to fix that setting up as a business. So let's talk about that. I come on as a bird dog. Okay. Yep. I want to work for you. I want to be your bird dog. I'm a JV with you. What's the very first thing you do with me as a bird dog? I assume there's going to be initial training of, hey, go watch this video. Here's what I'm looking for.
Yes, correct. You hit the nail on the head. So when it comes in, we put them into our database. I treat my bird dog just like a seller lead. You know, they're considered a lead. I teach them what to look for, where to find deals first. That's the first thing. And there's different type of bird dogs. Some bird dogs are just refer deals, and then some bird dogs want to learn the business. Mm-hmm. So each one of them, and depending on what they're doing within it, that's the percentage that they'll get part of the deal. You know, if they're just sending a lead over, they may get one thing. If they're doing more, you know, it's the same approach. So yeah, we'll train them. The main thing is what to look for, where the properties are and what kind of properties to look for and how to talk to the seller, and then kind of bring the deal in, and then we can talk about it and we look at it. If it's just somebody just referring a lead over to me, they go to my website, they plug the information in, it comes right into my system. From there, my system shows it's a new lead. My my team, my VA, will take it. He'll run with it. He'll pull the comps. He'll sit there and do a deal analysis. He'll reach out to the JV and find out, is the JV talking to the seller, or are we going to talk to the seller? If we're going to talk to the seller, then my VA will reach out, talk to the seller, find out if they're really motivated, find out what their issues and how we solve it. And if it's a true motivated lead, they'll set it up on my calendar. On my Google calendar will pop up in there, and they'll schedule it. If it's not a true lead, because sometimes bird dogs will say, oh, here's a house for sale. Here's a house for sale. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's always, so the wasting time. So my VA will kind of screen that out in the beginning. And so it comes in, and then I will jump on the phone and just talk to them. But all that information's already done. We already found out what needs to be done to it. And so I'm on the phone probably 15 minutes to a half hour talking to the seller and just trying to get the deal. Or I will work with the bird dog and say, all right, this is how we got to approach it. This is how you have to talk to them. This is going through the process and how you need to speak to them. Or they'll listen to me the first time, talk to them and pitch. We'll do it together on the phone. So, and then we kind of just, and then they graduate and take it off from that way. So usually, depending on the bird dog or JV, we usually do, you know, about 10 deals before they go on their own. Or people just refer deals. Like, you know, for an example, Trashmen. Trashmen are really good because they know the neighborhood. They know what homes are empty. You know,
when you have, say, a trashman that are your bird dogs, whatever, you know, deal finders, are you setting them up with a log or a link to your site, and they're in the system, or what?
I give them a choice. They can take a screenshot like on Zillow and just send it in. Into an email just for leads coming in, and then my VA will take it from there. Or if they want to be more involved and they want to get paid more, then they would go to the website, get the information, put all the information in, and it comes right in a Podio. So we have more information. So that's kind of how that works. That system works.
I like the fact they can track their lead through the system. So, because one of the biggest things about bird dogs, one of the reasons for them imploding is because one, that, you know, they feel like they're doing all this work and all these leads, and they, and a month later, they literally have nothing to show for it. Right. Like, they don't even know where their leads are. Are you even working the leads? What's going on, et cetera.
But you got to communicate with them too.
Yeah.
Reach back out, let them know what's going on, go through it, spend some time and talk to them a little bit. And then they feel that you're more involved in what they're doing. So they can log right in and see all the notes come. They can only read, they can't monitor.
Right. Anything, yeah. Yeah. You know, yeah.
But they can see exactly. And once they start getting a little taste of that money, they keep referring. Like, I had one guy, referred 14 deals last year. We actually closed 14 deals. I'm sorry, referred more than that. And what he does is he drives people to the doctor's office, the pharmacies, the grocery stores, and he's always talking to people, and these people need a downsize or whatever. And 14 deals he's referred, and he, I think he generated roughly about $38,000 in just bird dog fees last year.
Yeah. Well, that's phenomenal. Now, I mean, Uber drivers are a great, 100%. And I tell people, look, I can show you how to set up bird dogs as a business, but if you get 5 or 6, even 8 Uber drivers, you will find that you have more leads than you could possibly handle from those many, from just that many drivers, you know?
Yep. 100%. The other ones that work really, really well, and this is kind of, I hate to say it, hospice nurses.
It's called pre-probate.
I get a lot of leads that way.
Yeah.
That's really well. And then also funeral home directors.
Yeah. I thought it'd be a great idea to get a truck, like a box truck, have a big sign that says, we buy houses, Sorbate Loss, we buy houses, and park it just by a funeral home, you know?
Yeah.
They're going there anyway, you know?
Well, I mean, a lot of times, you know, I just did one where it was up in New England, and the children don't live there. And this house needed work. it just needed quite a bit of work. And I just said, you know what, just leave it. We'll buy it. I mean, they left, the cable box was still there. You know, everything. And they enjoy it. They just don't want to deal with the headaches, you know, because you know what it's like. They have to go in, find a property, get it prepared, get it all cleaned up. That's that's usually on a seller financing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. On my, when my mom passed away, it was the house I grew up in. Well, she single-handedly kept the tobacco industry in business. And so there was probably an inch of yellow tar on the walls. It was just, But I don't do rehabs, right? That's not my thing. And I don't, you know, from the reason of, you know, I just don't want the headache of a rehab. I don't have that creative. I've got, obviously got a creative mind, but to the creative mindset for a house, say, okay, you know what? We could do this, this, and this, take down this wall, but all this stuff, take a 1974 house and totally transform it to where people go, oh my God, I want to live there. I'm like, that's not my shtick. Plus I was going to drop 60 grand easily into it. So I just sold it to a, I just made a text to an investor that I know lived out that way. He bought it. And, you know, it was a, you know, I was their typical seller, even though I'm in the business. Yeah. But I'm not in that business. Right.
So I'm the same way. Especially like, with, especially the markets, you don't know. And if you saw what happened during the last crash, the fix and flip guys are the ones that kind of got burnt a little bit, you know? So
yeah,
I like controlling everything by paper. That's what I like to do.
The Bowers in the paper, you know? So and with where we are right now, Mark, I see different dynamics, but all markets are cyclical. You know, my background is the stock market and all markets are cyclical. And I see us at like the 2007 mark, you know, somewhere in there. I don't, certainly don't, you know, profess that it's going to be like 2008 all over again. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. Different, but different underlying situations going on. In this case, you have, government and politicians purposely destroying, you can't screw up that bad on accident, purposely destroying the economy and causing inflation and all this, you know, just interest rates are about to go up. It's a mess. That the timing of that with the bubble, you know, the seller's market slowing down, which it is, you know, nationally for the most part, as I see it, I think we're in a great position here. I'm telling people that are right now that are sitting on the fence about, say, getting into real estate or getting into lease options, because, you know, with what I do, it really thrives as the market goes down because we become the plan B for investors and rehabbers and flippers. And obviously a lot of sellers are like, oh crap, we need a plan B. So I tell people, you know, when you watch someone surf, a really good, you know, a surfing competition, these people out there surfing, they're paddling and paddling. There's no wave. You don't see the wave. And suddenly, boom, the wave is behind them. Well, it's because they knew the wave was coming. They started paddling beforehand to get ahead of the wave. And that's where we are right now. I feel like is, you know, we need to be paddling because, you know, that wave is building up behind us. Go ahead, Mark.
Especially you and I have been through it. We've seen it. A lot of these people, a lot of them haven't seen it yet. And they've just enjoyed it for the last, like, what, 12 years? Just, you know, so I'm kind of looking forward to it, quite frankly.
I am too. I am too. I'm looking forward to it as these sellers need. Well, heck, I mean, we've got someone right now that, you know, a student right now, literally just started with me. And we got a seller with a, you know, nice house up in Ohio. He's like, just take it. I got to move. You know, it's not going. So, okay, we'll take over the payments. Speaking of students, let's talk about your coaching and mentorship. It's really, someone comes on or approaches you for coaching or mentorship. It's really them coming on as a, like a bird dog. Is that right?
Yeah. That's kind of my model. It's just, I don't want to like, people have always asked, hey, I'll pay you this and that to join. When that happens, I refer them over to depending what they want to learn. I'll send them like, you know, I've sent people over to your system. I sent people over to Joe's. You know, Wendy Patton, you know, that's how I learned it. Or like Sean Terry, you know, I refer them out to different people if that's what they want. But if they're wanting to do a deal together, and I'm very selective because I don't have a lot of time. Because like you mentioned, you know, you do get a lot of people that will waste your time and energy and they don't take any action. And so what I'll do is I'll spend a few minutes with them, let them watch a video, see if they really take action and go to find leads and deals. And if they do, then we'll bring it back and we'll make money together on a deal. That's kind of how my approach is. Maybe down the road at some point, I may do that, do a course, but at this time I don't. So right now I just refer it all out to people.
Yeah. And that's, you know, unless you've got a passion, desire to create a course, that's a whole other thing. I just earlier today was on a Zoom call with someone who you would know, very respected in the industry. And we were talking about, I was explaining how every business is a different plate that you've got to keep balanced, right? You got to keep that plate spinning. And creating a course is a whole other plate that you start spinning that, man, all these other plates will start to fall off, you know? So I don't, you know, I get people that will still say, hey, I can't pay for your coaching, but can I pay for it out of deals we JV on, which we JV with them anyway, right? And I don't do that because I tried it, you know, however many times years ago. And at the end of the day, I was doing everything. So when someone says, approaches me anyway about, hey, I can't pay for coaching, can we just, you know, JV on deals? I translate that in my head to, okay, so you want to lose weight, but you want me to get the gym membership, and then you want me to lift the dumbbells. Is that what you're saying? No, I'll do the work. No, right. I've been down that road. Yep. But so that goes back to you being selective on, hey, look, I'll bring her my wings as a bird dog, but you know, you don't be calling me 20 times a day with this and that. Do this, this, and this, and bring me these leads, and then you can see how I do these. And you know, they get a bird dog fee for that. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Where are you doing most of your deals? You know, you're kind of national, I guess, but is there a particular area where you're finding you're doing most of your deals in?
It is nationally. It depends, like on the residential deals. I don't really want to do them in California, New York. I try to stay out of those areas. But on the land stuff, I'm really focusing on where everybody's moving to the South, you know, the Texas, the Florida, Georgia, the Carolinas. You know, that's where I'm really focusing on the land stuff right now, just where everybody's migrating to,
yep.
And where the jobs and the population. But at the same time, I'm being very cautious on these land deals because what you're mentioning, you know, we're like, it's like 2007 again. I just want to make sure, like, if something happens, you know, we don't get hurt or burned. Because as you know, some of these projects take time to go through.
Yeah. And, you know, so I've never done land development. I've never flipped a land or even flipped a land deal, but I definitely see that on the horizon as I get more into syndication. It's just going to come up. Matter of fact, the opportunities have come up already for sure. But, you know, land in itself, not the development, but just the land itself is a different avatar, different business than single family, right?
Yes.
Land isn't based on someone's on FHA guidelines. Land isn't based on appraisal, you know, whether the house next door has laminate or granite, right? So it's definitely a different beast. Out of everything you've done in your 87 years of real estate, what do you feel like you've gotten the most enjoyment from?
Believe it or not, the lease options helping the tenant buyer purchase their home. That's what I really, really enjoy. Of like people, you know, they want to own a home, but they have issues and they need help getting into it and they don't know how to, you know, because, you know, most of these people that I look at, I underwrite, you know, they have to have good income, you know, but they have some credit challenges. And I usually will do mine like on a 3-year term because it takes roughly about 15, 18, 24 months for them to get the credit lined up so they can purchase the property. That's probably where I really enjoy. And then the other part of it is I enjoy is like right now the land development. I love a lot of moving parts and complicated and things that are complicated. So it makes my mind work a lot more. And, you know, I enjoy that.
Yeah. Yeah, because you've got different, you've got city, you've got county, you've got code. What it's zoned as.
It's a little overwhelming sometimes.
Is it platted properly? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I could see that. So I would have to say I'm just throwing this out there, Mark, but with land development, a couple of things on that, Mark, and tell me your feedback on this. One, you have to be patient. And two, you can't need a paycheck. So land development is definitely not something that someone needs to go into if they're like, I need a financial Hail Mary. No, this is like a baby. You're raising this baby, you're crafting, you're nurturing it, blah, blah, blah. And you're building it and watching it grow. And then you know, and whatever that is, 6, 8 months, a year, whatever that time frame is. Oh, okay. Now it's, you know, now we can recoup get, you know, some financial reward out of it.
Yep. Exactly. So what how I tend to take land development on is almost like the same role as you're doing syndication. You bring a team together. I manage a team, put the deal together. And then I have players underneath that handle it all. Like I have somebody that worked for one of the city zoning departments for many years. So he handles all that. Then I have other people like when deals come in. So you just put together the same team. You also put together, you know, the syndication guys to take down some of the deals. So it's saying the same thing. You're just kind of overseeing the project, if you will.
Yep. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, so Mark, where can people find you if they want to work with you, be one of your bird dogs, and where can they find you?
Sure. I have the Facebook group. That's probably where I'm active. That there is called Creative Real Estate Investing.
Creative Real Estate Investing.
Yeah, okay. Creative Real Estate Investing. Also, YouTube channel, Creative Real Estate Investing. And I actually, May 1st, I have a book coming out called Creative Real Estate Investing. And that's going to have all different creative strategies in the book. And one of them is going to be the lease option strategy. So that's coming out May 1st.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. And then I also am part of a group called Real Estate Power Play podcast.
Okay.
Sure.
So on that book, is that going to be something you get on Amazon? Is it going to be an ebook or is it?
Yeah, okay. It's going to be on Amazon. Yeah,
okay.
Amazon. And that's where we'll start with from there.
Yeah. Is that self-published or is that Amazon published?
It's going to be Amazon published.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. So it's just, like you said, you don't have all this time and energy putting courses together and all that. And I actually put this together and I'm like, all right, you know, I started going through the process, but we'll see. But yeah, I'm definitely out there to help anybody. And like I said, you know, if people, you know, your stuff is great, especially in Texas. I highly, highly recommend people over to your courses.
Yeah, I'm shocked that here we are, 2022.
When did you start it?
It's been 12 years since the law got passed, and real estate attorneys still haven't read the law.
You guys just had another law down there that just passed, right? The RAPS
regarding seller finance. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, cool. Yeah, if you're gonna do seller finance or RAP notes, I mean, you gotta use an attorney, you know.
Yes.
The one that's well known here is Scott Horn. He's really well known. Yep. And the Texas law passed in 2005, September of 2005. But
well, I remember Texas law also when I was in the real estate banking world, like if you went to refinance a property at the time, it had to be 20% equity left in it. They couldn't leave. It had to go 80% loan to value. I don't know what that's like now, but I remember back in the day, you guys had that law down there as well.
Yeah. And I don't think that's not to refi. No, but you know what? I do remember in early 2000s, people would refi their house just to avoid a payment, you know,
crazy. Yeah.
Like they're, well, you know, they didn't care about all the origination fees. They would refi, you know, to avoid that payment.
And then they had the crazy loans. The, when the rates pumped up, they had the crazy 125s. Remember that one? Dan Marino used to advertise 125 loan to value.
Insane.
So that's great. That's good stuff. Yeah.
Well, thanks for taking some time out of your day here. And we'll kind of bring all this to an end. One last time, just in case anybody missed it, they can find you. You've got a YouTube channel, Creative Real Estate Investing. Is that the channel?
Yep. Okay. Facebook group and also on LinkedIn, you know, Mark Monroe Boca Raton.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again so much, Mark. Again, guys, another episode of the Lease Option Experience here. Great to have Mark here as our guest talking about lease options and some creative real estate and kind of his journey in real estate as well. Definitely hit him up if you want to talk to him about being a bird dog for him, helping find properties and getting paid to do it. So in the meantime, if you want a bunch of, like I said at the beginning of this show, if you want a bunch of free stuff on lease options, go to freeleaseoptiontraining.com, freeleaseoptiontraining.com. I'd be happy to give you all a bunch of stuff for free. And it even has an entire, I think, an hour video on what I do, the system, and how it works. Go to freeleaseoptiontraining.com. Again, if you're watching this on YouTube, thumbs up, leave comments, questions. I will respond to the questions as well. Until next time, take care, guys. We'll see you on the next show. Well, thanks for listening to another episode of the Lease Option Experience. I hope you got a lot of information out of that episode. Again, if you have any questions about lease options, email us questions@leasingtobuy.com. Again, that's questions@leasingtobuy.com. And again, if you haven't yet, subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a thumbs up on any platform that you're listening to or watching us on. Again, questions@leasingtobuy.com. And if you haven't, again, go to leaseoptionclasses.com. Get all your free downloads, a lot of great information, including the steps of lease option, a lease option calculator, my seller price sheet, and even my comparison sheet. And again, that's leaseoptionclasses.com. And we've got a lot more training videos there as well. And you can even learn more about the Lease Options 2.0 training information. Take care, and we'll see you on the next episode.